The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and Janet's out again today. Hopefully, she'll be back tomorrow. I'm just waiting for her voice to return. As a reminder, Advanced Medical Testing Centers, which sponsor this radio program, is having an event this Saturday. And the reason for the event is to introduce people to the drawing center. You know, everybody's aware of the LabCorp and Quest drawing centers. The difference is when you go to those drawing centers, you can only get lab tests done by LabCorp or Quest. When you go to Advanced Medical Testing Centers, they do lab tests for any lab. And there are a lot of excellent laboratories out there doing very important testing that you just can't get at Quest or LabCorp. And the other advantage, they will process your insurance just like Quest or LabCorp do. And an added inducement to coming out to the event, number one is by appointment, because they are drawing blood for people free of charge, a complete blood count, a serum chemistry, and a urinalysis, just as a way of introducing their services. So even though this event is sold out, there may be last-minute cancellations, but they are planning, there is another event planned for January 9th, a Saturday. So it's this Saturday from 8 to 11, January 9th from 8 to 11. And the phone number to call to make a reservation is 754-216-2332. All right, having said that, I had a lot of things I wanted to talk about today, but something on the news that I heard on the way into the program I thought I should talk about briefly. It's kind of interesting. It's new news, but it's not. It's about another recall of food because of E. coli contamination. And I was just wondering, you know, why is this happening? They don't seem to really give a good explanation. But this, the article here just says that add Starbucks to the ever-growing list of companies affected by E. coli bacteria. They've had to recall many of the foods on their holiday menu, including turkey paninis, because the sandwiches are made using the same celery product linked to the ongoing Costco E. coli outbreak. And I have a few questions of my own, but first, here are some of the facts about this. Earlier this month, 19 people became ill after eating E. coli contaminated chicken salad bought at Costco. So in response to the outbreak, the members-only shopping club, Costco, recalled the product nationwide. Now, my first question is, you have the so-called outbreak. How come only 9 people became sick? You know, that's, you know, I wonder why isn't it a greater number of people? Remember, you're getting exposed to the E. coli from eating the contaminated food. Is it just that it's intermittently contaminated, or are some people's immune system more capable of dealing with exposure? The CDC found E. coli bacteria in the celery and onion mix used in the Costco chicken salad. So the Taylor Farms, which supplied the vegetables for the mix, immediately recalled the product. And then, of course, they had to look for all the other places where those products were included, and that included Starbucks. So they took it, you know, took the turkey sandwich from the menu. Starbucks states they fear E. coli may be in the Taylor Farm celery blend used to make their holiday turkey paninis. So they recall 45,000 sandwiches from over 1,300 stores in California, Oregon, and Nevada. No reports of illness due to E. coli have been linked to Starbucks. Yet they're recalling all these things. The current E. coli scare not only affects Starbucks and Costco. Taylor Farm supplies products that are sold at 7-Eleven, Target, Walmart, Sam's Club, Safeway, Albertsons, King, Supers, Pantry, Raley's, and Save Mart. The company's removed any products that contain the diced celery, including snack trays, chicken salad, tuna salad, macaroni salad, potato salad, and sandwich wraps, all because so far 19 people got sick. The total number of products that could be polluted by potentially deadly bacteria is now over 150,000. Although most of the foods are distributed in the western U.S., like states like Georgia, Nebraska, Arkansas, and Hawaii, they're also included on that list. And here's the thing. It's a special strain of E. coli that is found contaminating these products, the celery. It's the 0157:H7 strain. And the reason that's important, because remember, E. coli is a natural inhabitant of the colon in humans and in animals, but not in humans. This strain is not found in humans. This strain, however, is found in animals, though. I just want to see if I can find the information on that. But I just wonder, the one thing that's not being reported on is what can a consumer do to prevent them from getting sick with E. coli? Should they inadvertently be exposed to it? Well, how to prevent exposure, assuming the food you buy has it in there? Well, if it's in a salad, you know, mixed with mayonnaise and things like that, no, there's nothing you can do, really. But I'm thinking of the vegetables before they enter the salad. Maybe they could be washed better. Someone still has to explain to me, if this product is so widespread in its use, how come only 19 reported cases of E. coli? Now, if you remember, just a few weeks ago, other companies, including Chipotle Mexican Grill, Costco, and Taylor Farms, have been affected by food contamination. In other words, this is a repeated problem, and we're really not being given enough information except to say that, let's just pull all the products from the shelves. Remember, it was out west, I think, in Oregon and California with Chipotle that they closed, I think, 40 stores because of a handful of people getting sick. And, you know, I just, you know, wonder again, why isn't it more widespread that that problem? Now, I just want to give you a little more background on this particular E. coli. So that particular strain we mentioned, that's found in food poisoning, was the first discovered in 1885 by the German bacteriologist Theodor Escherich. And what makes this strain a problem is that it's very, causes a lot of serious symptoms, primarily diarrhea, gastroenteritis. So people can get very sick, they become dehydrated, and deaths have been attributed to it, sometimes because of renal failure. So clearly it's something that's a very important thing to be aware of. But where is it found? Where is it coming from? Well, it's found in livestock. This particular strain, it's found in livestock and in agricultural fairs throughout the United States. It could be isolated from 13.8% of beef cattle, 5.9% of dairy cattle, 3.6% of pigs, 5.2% of sheep, 2.8% of goats, Over 7% of pest fly pools also tested positive for this strain of E. coli. So, you know, it's kind of widespread. So apparently what's happening is the food is being contaminated by the droppings from these animals somehow. I don't know if they're using these animal droppings as fertilizer in the food or the animals are walking through the fields. A study published in 2011 estimated that there were 93,000 illnesses due to domestically acquired E. coli of this particular strain each year in the United States. Now, to put things in perspective, okay, of those 93,000, in other words, maybe they had some diarrhea. It's interesting that those 93,000 were actually tested for that strain of E. coli, according to the way this, you know, the published information here. Of the 93,000 people that acquired this foodborne illness, about 2,100 required hospitalization. And what they do in the hospital, again, is IV fluids until your body gets over the infection, and about 20 deaths annually. So what's not clear is, okay, let's say you buy, you know, if you buy the raw vegetables yourself, you know, I think you probably should take the time to wash them, because I think the bacteria is going to be on the surface of the vegetables. It's not going to be inside the vegetables. This is contamination of the produce, you know, after it started growing. You know, they're making a big deal, and rightly so. I mean, well, maybe not rightly so, because, you know, only 20 deaths a year. I think you can think of a lot of other things that we deal with on a daily basis associated with more than 20 deaths a year. First thing that comes to mind is over 100,000 deaths a year from properly used prescription medication. You know, just saying. It needs to, you know, be looked at. It should be prevented. And by the way, remember a couple of years ago it was in hamburger meat, the E. coli. And that's when they said you just have to really cook the meat thoroughly. You can't eat raw hamburgers or rare hamburgers or medium rare. You really want to get all the pink out of the meat to make sure that the E. coli, if it's there, is destroyed, because partial cooking could leave some E. coli available. Enough of that. I hear some music. When we come back, I found some interesting things about new information about vaccines that I'd like to pass along. But right now you're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be back right after this.
Have you ever heard of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests saved the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332. Or amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via phone, Skype, or email, with the convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at janetcimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m., right here on this station.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. If you were wondering where Janet is, her voice hasn't returned yet. You know, Monday she was on the program with a little hoarseness, but it's gotten worse before it's getting better. But she hopes to be back tomorrow. And, one of the topics that we repeatedly talk about are vaccinations. As adults, we're inundated with propaganda to get your yearly flu vaccine. And of course, children, there's been a whole lot of concerns about the possible side effects of vaccines in children. And what I wanted to pass along is what the some people in the veterinarian community are saying about vaccines in regard to the dogs particularly, but cats and dogs, they're being vaccinated on a regular basis. Just an interesting point. Sometimes the term vaccination and immunization are used interchangeably, but they're really not the same. Vaccination is the activity of, injecting the virus or, that you're being vaccinated against into the body. That's a vaccination. Immunization refers to how your immune system deals with that and provides immunity. So when I say vaccination doesn't equal immunization, because we've seen the failure of vaccines over and over again. Remember the recent mumps outbreak out in California at the Disneyland? They said that 80% of the people that came down with the mumps had already been vaccinated. So, yeah, they were vaccinated, but they didn't get immunized. But here was the interesting thing when they look at animals. A lot of times we get good information from our animals. And here's what they were saying about vaccines and what's going on with our dogs and cats. And, of course, they have the same questions, too. Are vaccines safe? And are they really providing a beneficial service? Well, here's some of the things that have been associated with vaccines in animals. Chronic diseases, arthritis, hypo and hyperthyroidism, allergies, asthma, inflammatory bowel disease, repeated ear infection, skin disease, heart disease, diabetes, kidney failure, and the current number one killer of dogs over 6 years of age, cancer. So that's interesting. And they're thinking that there may be a connection here with these diseases that are found in animals and vaccination. And the problem with these types of illnesses in the animals is that they linger. They're not cured. They're progressive, degenerative. And, of course, there is no good treatment for it. And the best that conventional medicine can do with these chronic diseases, and it doesn't sound familiar when we talk about the animals now, but it's the same with humans. The best that conventional medicine can do is control the symptoms through suppressive therapies. It's another name for prescription drugs. So you give prescription drugs to the dogs and cats, and lots of side effects associated with it, which may lead to even more serious illnesses arising from these particular types of medications used. Now, the person that wrote this article was a veterinarian who's a holistic vet, and he doesn't believe in vaccines. And the primary reason is, where's the proof that they work? That's his position. And what he's observed is when people bring their animals in to see him with various conditions, he would ask them the question, when did it start? And they would often say that it started shortly after the puppy received their vaccines. Now, here's the problem. Both in animals and in humans, the onset of chronic disease after vaccination is often delayed. It could come a couple of weeks afterwards to a couple of months after the injection. Therefore, it's very difficult to connect the two, unless you think about it. Now, how would you connect the two? Well, a veterinarian could do that, because if he sees animal after animal coming in with the same story from their owners, that the animal got sick shortly after receiving a vaccination, he can put it together because he's seeing the same history from these animals. I think the studies used to judge the safety of the vaccines may not last longer than 24 hours in some cases. So, you know, the studies aren't there. The other part of the study is they haven't done any studies to really evaluate how long does immunity last, at least in the animal vaccines. So in lieu of doing all these studies, they say, well, vaccinate your animals every year. No big deal. It's perfectly safe. Well, they quote a British veterinarian who's been in practice for over 20 years, and he asks the clients who bring their animals to them with, for example, an itchy allergic dog, when did the symptoms begin? And 75% of them said, clearly, it began within 1 to 2 months after the puppy shots. Now, the same thing is true in humans in this context. Anecdotal evidence in human medicine is pointed to a cause and effect relationship between childhood vaccines and autism. Now, here's the important point. Autism was virtually unknown 40 years ago, and yet today it's being called an epidemic. There has been a marked increase in incidence of this devastating disease that parallels the increase in the number of vaccines now required of children. The interval between vaccination and disease, about 1 month. So, though sometimes autism can occur immediately after a vaccine. And the same thing is being observed with regard to asthma in humans, as well as diabetes. Now, it's interesting, and we're seeing this connection. It may not be entirely the vaccines. We're going to get to another possible reason for this, but I thought it was kind of interesting. Now, here's some more information. In a study published in 1996, they looked at the deadly canine disease of a confused immune system known as immune-mediated hemolytic anemia. And what that means is the dog's immune system attacks their own red blood cells and causes anemia. You know, so, you know, there are a lot of diseases that dogs face that humans don't face. But the common denominator is, number one, we're all mammals. We have similar immune systems, and we can impact our immune systems in a negative fashion through doing certain things. Clearly, you know, the food you eat plays a role. But introducing viruses into the body as more and more evidence is mounting can also play a role too. So the question is then, you know, so what do we do? All we're saying is, you know, show us the evidence. You know, give us, you know, the mainstream medicine always says when someone says, well, you know, I heard that, for example, chelation, you know, saved my life. You know, I was told I needed bypass surgery. I went for chelation. Not only did my chest pain go away, but I was able to exercise more. I could walk where I couldn't walk before. And they would say, well, that's just anecdotal. In other words, there's no true study to show that that worked. Well, then they did the trial to assess chelation therapy. This was a trial paid for by the National Institute of Health. Lasted over 2 years. And it showed that chelation therapy was indeed very effective. And it sort of backed up what people were observing anecdotally for that treatment. So what did that? So what happened with that? Well, they ignored it. Now, here's another thing. In cats, researchers have known since the early 1990s about the correlation between vaccines and a malignant tumor. This particular tumor arises where the vaccines are commonly given, in the area of loose skin in the back of the neck or in the back of the hind legs. How's that interesting? You give an injection, and at the site of the injection, you get a malignant tumor. And this particular tumor appears to be uniformly fatal, even with extensive surgery. It's been associated with two particular vaccines, rabies and feline leukemia. Finally, in the year 2000, recognizing the clear cause and effect relationship between vaccines and this cancer, the disease was renamed by the research community and is now officially called vaccine-associated sarcoma. Now, we get sarcoma in humans, and it is a very serious illness with a very high mortality associated with it, even if you operate on the people. So, you know what I'd like to try? I'm going to look for a veterinarian to bring onto the program to give us a little insight into their observations regarding vaccines, because they do it a lot, too. This is said to be their bread and butter. You know, bring those dogs and cats every year in, and we'll give them their yearly vaccines, despite the fact there's no evidence to show that repeated vaccines make your animals any more resistant to illness. So, just an observation. But here I came across something kind of interesting. I think a lot of people point to polio is the perfect example of how vaccines eradicated a deadly illness. And that's what you're taught in medical school, and that's what most people believe. Until you open the book up and read a little bit more about actually what was happening. So, here's what actually happened. Polio was not eradicated by vaccine, but through redefinition. Now, we've talked about this before. How did they redefine polio? Well, before the introduction of the vaccine, polio was the prevalence of paralysis that lasted at least a day. The redefinition said the paralysis has to last at least 30 days before you could diagnose it as polio. So right off the bat, lowered the incidence of polio, because a lot of people got better from polio and the paralysis disappeared. But here's something that I came across that was kind of interesting, especially into today's environment where we're talking about the microbiome and all the things that could affect that and how important a healthy digestive tract with all the different bacteria in there plays a role in our health. Not just the health of the digestive tract, but it's been associated with the health of our brains and, of course, our immune systems. Now, we're coming up on a break, so what I want to do is hold off getting into it before the break. And we'll take the break right now. And when we come back, really important information coming up. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be back right after this.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill, and you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm here to tell you about Dr. Herb Slavin, the medical director of the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill. The Institute brings the latest natural approaches to health, supported by research. We offer a full range of traditional and holistic treatments. The primary goal of the Institute of Advanced Medicine is to give you, the patient, the information you need to stay healthy and live long. So before you feel sick, before you develop symptoms, come see the team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. You can call today, 954-748-4991, to learn all about the services offered at the Institute. Services from on-demand to chiropractic, from natural skin solutions to nutrition testing and support. 954-748-4991. you can visit drslavin.com to learn more.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. Janet couldn't make it today. Her voice hasn't returned, but she's hoping to be back tomorrow. Okay, we were talking about vaccines. I started off talking about how animals are becoming ill after vaccinations, just like humans are, and yet the connections aren't being made, partly because when they study the safety of vaccines, they don't study them long enough. Maybe they study it for 24 hours, maybe a week, maybe a week, 2 weeks. They don't go out to months to see if there's any correlation. But doctors and veterinarians are seeing correlations where people are getting vaccinated and then symptoms arise. Now, a couple of months ago, we had a patient of mine who, a healthcare provider, who had a routine flu vaccine, came down with Guillain-Barré, a very serious illness. Several years later, she's still not over all the side effects. So here was the thing. So we were talking about polio, how polio, that vaccination is sort of the cornerstone of, used to say, look how great vaccines are, it eradicated polio. And I mentioned before the break, you know, really what, first of all, the incidence of polio was on a decline before the introduction of the vaccine because of better sanitation and better nutrition. That played a big role. So that was in place, number one. Number two, I told you they changed the definition of polio to make it more difficult to diagnose someone with polio because you had to remain paralyzed for over 30 days and that as opposed to one day. And so that lowered the incidence right then and there. But in today's scientific community, we're talking more and more about the microbiome in humans. And here was something that I came across. In the past, it has sometimes been suggested that a large part of the polio epidemic was related to increases in sugar consumption. Dr. Benjamin Sandler wrote an entire book about this. And here's what he said. Polio is an enterovirus, meaning a virus in the intestines, and it gets there through your digestive tract. So there are some viruses that are called respiratory viruses. In other words, you inhale them. And there are other viruses that come in through the, you know, respiratory tract. Means you have to swallow them. You're exposed to them in food, for example. The integrity and the flora population in your bowel is extremely important when it comes to dealing with any kind of bowel infection. A diet that's high in sugar is going to, number one, impair your cell-mediated immune system, and number two, trash your gut flora. And this was written a long time ago. This is not recent information, although today more and more attention is being paid to the bacteria in our digestive tracts. It has been shown that in populations who cut back on their sugar intake, the rates of polio plummeted. I got to repeat that. So going back before the vaccines, when polio was epidemic, they said those areas in the population where they cut back on sugar intake, the incidence of polio plummeted. So how do they view that information? It was so unbelievable that nobody really listened to that doctor who had made that observation. It was at the same time that Dr. Frederick Klenner tried to say, and this is important too, we talked about this earlier in the week, Dr. Frederick Klenner tried to say that he cured 100% of patients using intravenous vitamin C. And yet it still didn't register. Nobody wanted to pay attention to that. Imagine that. IV vitamin C and cutting back on sugar and you were curing 100% of polio. The low sugar diet was very effective because of the effect it had on the immune system and on the bowel flora. Now, the same thing was observed with DDT. Now, DDT, if you remember, is that insecticide, which is no longer used in the United States, but I understand it's used in other parts of the world. And it really damages the bacteria in the bowel, and the intestinal walls, and really does harm to the immune system. Not only can DDT give you all the symptoms of polio all by itself, it can also make the polio virus much more virulent and active in the body for the same reasons that the polio virus did. It disturbs the normal function of the bowel. DDT exposure has been linked to Alzheimer's disease. So this is important because now we're saying, okay, you mess up the bowel and you have an increased risk of Alzheimer's disease. It's worth noting that the contemporary equivalent of DDT is glyphosate. Now, you remember glyphosate. It's the active ingredient in Roundup. Roundup is the herbicide that they're spraying on all these genetically modified crops. The crops are being genetically modified to withstand or be immune to the effects of that herbicide. So all the surrounding weeds get killed, but the crops remain. But that doesn't mean that the glyphosate disappears. It stays with the crops. And, you know, in reality, it may be even more harmful than the E. coli that we talked about. We have 20 deaths a year from E. coli infections. I'm not sure they're actually publishing the number of people dying from exposure to genetically modified crops and the glyphosate. According to Dr. Don Huber, professor emeritus of Purdue University, glyphosate is far more toxic than DDT. It definitely has been shown to decimate your microbiome. That's the fancy term they use these days for your gut bacteria. Glyphosate preferentially kills bacteria known to be beneficial for human health. So it's becoming more and more obvious just what's making us ill when we try to do everything right. So we have the vaccinations might be playing a role there. You have exposure to environmental toxins like glyphosate. So how do you avoid these things? Well, you have to try and get organic food as much as possible. But it's going to be everywhere. You know, you spray all these crops with Roundup. You know, they call them Roundup Ready, meaning you can spray them with the herbicide, the crops. The desired crops will live and the undesirable plants that are not Roundup ready will die. So it's in the food if it's not organic. But you have runoff from these fields into the water system, into the water table. So now you have to be concerned about the water you're drinking. And what about the animals drinking the water? You know, they're being exposed to all these things. And what about the associated animals in the environment? For, you know, they talk about the die-off of bees, of butterflies, all of these things that are important to the balance of nature. We really have to be aware of all these things. So again, talking about vaccines. And this is where there's so much information that's lacking. Number one, you have to understand the history. You have to look at the medical literature, the biology, the chemistry, the physiology, the immunology. You have to look at all these things because they're affecting every aspect of your body when you get vaccinated. But if you only look at an individual over a 1 day, 2 week, 3 week, 1 month period, you know, you're going to miss all this stuff. So we started off talking about vaccines and animals. They're suffering the same chronic debilitating illnesses that humans are suffering. The connection, mainstream vets will not admit to a connection between vaccines and the diseases, just like the connection in human is not being made. Now, there was a very good book written recently by Dr. Humphreys who felt this was important to get the information out. And here's the problem. You know, most doctors are uninformed because the information really isn't out there. So it's very difficult to make an informed decision because you can't get the information. So here's some of the things you have to know when we're talking about getting vaccinated. Vaccines have tumorigenic capacity. In animals, for example, you give vaccines and they can cause tumors in the kidneys of dogs. You can have human fetal cells with retroviruses. In other words, the vaccines can be contaminated that way. Vaccines also contain aluminum, which is very toxic to cells in an animal, not just dogs, but humans. Parents really need to know that their doctors are not informed and therefore they cannot give informed consent, and that they really need to think about it because you cannot unvaccinate. You know, once you put that needle in, you can't take it out, you know. So, I don't know. I think we just have to not jump to getting these vaccines the way they're promoting it, like it's perfectly safe and nothing to worry about. Now, shifting our topic just a little bit. You know, we mentioned how they took DDT off the market and because it was found to be extremely dangerous. In fact, if you remember, they had these commercials on TV during the time they were using DDT, how they had this cloud of DDT being sprayed and children playing in the streets in the cloud. They were spraying like that to get rid of mosquitoes. How did we survive since the elimination of DDT? In fact, they're finding glyphosate is becoming less and less effective. What does that mean? They're using more and more of it to control the weeds. So we talk about the importance of avoiding these toxins in the environment, and one of the best ways to do it is to eat organic, because at least by definition, those foods are supposed to be grown without exposure to these toxins. And if you're buying conventionally grown produce, believe it or not, there are no legal limits on the number of different pesticides allowed on the food. So the effects of these chemical cocktails are unknown. Now, it's the same thing with drugs. You know, they do a study. This drug can cause all these symptoms. Then you take another drug, it causes all these symptoms. But they never did the study looking at what happens when this one person is taking both those drugs. That music means it's time for another break. When we come back, I've got some more information about pesticides and how to avoid them and what foods are the safest to eat, what foods to avoid. Right now, you're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be back right after this.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. If you're in search of the fountain of youth, if you're trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy, there are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through my counseling sessions, I work with clients and manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. I can help you maintain optimal health that will keep you looking and feeling young again. I provide you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. So schedule your appointment today, JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait, your clock is ticking.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and if you're wondering where Janet is, hopefully she'll be back tomorrow. Her voice left her for a couple of days, and she tells me she's getting better. She's been whispering to me. Anyway, we were talking about, again, what foods to avoid, how dangerous pesticides are. What's interesting is, and this has been published again, very small amounts of pesticides may be harmful, especially to the brains of children. So what do we do about that? Number one, you have to know around 60% of fruits and vegetables contain pesticide residue. Eating an apple isn't going to kill you. However, nobody knows about the long-term effects of low doses. So one apple doesn't kill you. What if you eat an apple a day? What happens over years and years of eating an apple a day? Foods with traces of more than one pesticide are potentially the biggest concern. And therefore, again, since we don't know, nobody's done the study. What about all these multiple pesticides? Because as we mentioned, there is no legal limit on the number of different pesticides allowed on food. So who knows what they're putting on there? Therefore, again, you have to think about using only organics. When I did a study of pregnant women and following the children over a 12-year period, it turns out the impact was quite dramatic. In other words, mothers exposed to these pesticides during pregnancy had shorter durations of pregnancy, poorer neonatal reflexes, a lower IQ and poorer cognitive function in the children, increased risk of attention problems in children. So, you know, maybe the vaccines aren't what's causing the ADHD and autism. Maybe it's the pesticides that the mothers are being exposed to, or maybe a combination of both. So they're saying that the effects of combined chemical exposures needs further attention because nobody knows. They're just putting these things on the foods, and nobody knows what's going to happen. The other thing we don't know about is the combined effect of not just one, not just two, but the multiple pesticides. Throughout the course of a day, people may eat several different types of produce, each of which may bear traces of one or more pesticides. Then they encounter other types of chemicals as well, from antibacterials in soaps to plasticizers in foodware to flame retardants in furniture. By the end of the day, you've got a combination of chemicals and an unknown level of risk. So, just something to think about then. This highlights the importance of using a far infrared sauna to try and sweat these toxins out of your body, because who knows what's there. Now, Advanced Medical Testing Centers has panels that can be done to evaluate just the level of toxins you've been exposed to, including glyphosate. You know, everybody should have the test if you're curious, but particularly women who anticipate becoming pregnant, because you really like to, you know, get these out of your body if they're there. Now, in England, they composed a list of the foods most commonly containing more than one pesticide, and those included oranges, lemons and limes, pears, grapes, apples, prepacked salads, bananas, spring greens, kale, herbs, spinach, cucumbers. Now, those are the foods we recommend people eating, but, you know, to avoid the pesticides, you have to go organic. Now, the foods that are subject to the least amount of residue from pesticides include mushrooms, turnips, cauliflower, peas, asparagus, avocado, broccoli, potatoes, sweet potatoes, pumpkins, but I still have to tell you, go organic. But there are four foods you should definitely try to buy organic, and that's wheat, rice, flour, and bread, because they contain lots of pesticides, including glyphosate. It was mentioned recently, I came across this, that maybe the epidemic of so-called gluten sensitivity is really a reaction to being exposed to glyphosate. So around, as I mentioned before, around 60% of fruits and vegetables contain pesticide residue. And you just have to keep that in mind. And if you, I don't know how often I've heard people say, but organic food is so expensive. Not nearly expensive as the illnesses that they cause. You know, as we've mentioned over and over again on this program, glyphosate is the active ingredient in Roundup produced by Monsanto. And it may be at least partially to blame for the rising rates of numerous chronic diseases in Western society. We say Western society because this is where it's being used. At MIT, is saying that glyphosate residues enhance the damaging effects of other foodborne chemical residues and toxins in the environment to disrupt normal body functions and induce disease. Remember I mentioned earlier, glyphosate is specifically toxic to our microbiome, the bacteria in the digestive tract. And that's disruptions there have been associated with neurologic diseases, Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease. You know, we mentioned attention deficit disorder, a lot of different things. Here's another important thing. In 2013, there was a study that showed that glyphosate is a xenoestrogen. That means that's a environmental